time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Being Young at Any Age, where we help you develop your own personal guide and roadmap to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges might be. And as you know, I try to simplify these concepts, and I talk in terms of our goal is to figure out how to die young at an old age. And we've talked a lot about the difference between youthfulness and age. And I like to put these things into four major categories that I call eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. It's very important that we do so. I think my dad's becoming like a used Volvo.
How old is your father?
He's 99 years old. Now, I cannot get rid of this guy. He just won't die. I was joking in the last show. He's like Keith Richards. You know, the guy just won't go away.
Popping up.
But we're putting all these replacement parts on him to keep him going. It's pretty amazing. I don't even know that I told you this, and I apologize. I'm going to introduce our guest here in a minute. But my dad had his heart valve replaced about eight weeks ago, and we can chat
so
about
So all
that.
The women of his hometown are running
I'm telling you, he
for the exits. Oh, my gosh, he's got more energy now.
Have you ever seen the game Whack-A-Mole?
No.
You know, at an arcade, it's this little game where these moles pop up and the kids have to hit them with a mallet.
Yeah.
Every time my father walks into the dining area in the community center there, it's like Whack-A-Mole. You can see these ladies' heads popping up all over the place. It's really cute. He's a hot commodity. So today we're going to stumble into, I think primarily I would wrap the content that we're going to talk about today in the reduced stress category.
Yeah.
And as you all know, I'm a huge, huge, huge proponent of bringing humor and laughter into our lives. I really believe the old mantra that laughter really is the best medicine. And there's another piece of information I'd like to weave into this. And one of my dearest friends, you may even know this guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He loves to say, a sweat a day keeps the doctor away, right?
Surgeons and shrinks. Seriously, it's as good for your mental well-being as it is for your physical.
Well, it is. It is. Yeah. And part of my trip here.
Who is that guy?
Yeah, that's you, buddy. That's you. Part of my trip has led me to work for 15 years with seniors and people with serious health and mobility challenges. Yeah. And there are times that I'm in a situation where I can't really move my body enough to sweat. And that's part of what our mission and passion here is, to help make you folks all aware of the new technologies and concepts that we have coming down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. Me talking about my dad and things of that nature really are designed to get you thinking about the fact that we live in an amazing time. And you and me, buddy, we're going to live to be 90, 95, 100 years old. No. All our listeners are.
No.
The only question is, how healthy and vibrant are we going to be when we get there?
Quality of life.
That is exactly right. Yeah. So I want to introduce to you my dear friend. I met Mark, God, how long ago?
Longer than we care to admit.
I was doing something on TV, and you were a hoster.
Co-hosting Colorado and Company, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Long ago, when the earth was green and there were more kind of animals than you've ever seen.
And I was 6'4", buff, and had black curly hair, right?
I don't exactly remember it that way. But
well,
if
I wasn't 6'4". Well, you know, and don't take us as weird.
You're a buff fan.
I was a buff fan. Okay. I was. Back in the day.
Still should be. They only lost one game.
But Mark and I just, we used to jokingly say we had a little bromance. We just
kindred spirits.
We did like each other, and we've been supporters. And Mark, of course, is a long-term sportscaster here in the Denver area. 31 years.
31 years. Came here as a sportscaster for Channel 4 in 1988.
Oh, my God. You're dating yourself.
A long time ago.
You're dating yourself. But you know what? You can't date yourself. I'm from Arkansas. I can date myself. You're from Missouri. You can date your cousin.
Arkansas and Missouri have a border.
I can date my cousin. I just can't marry my cousin. That's different. But anyway, so we're dating ourselves here. But you're also an author, four books, right?
Professional speaker. Yeah.
And you know what I really love about you, Mac, is, you know, you're a motivational guy. You really like to bring positive energy. Yeah. And you've got an amazing program, you know, that you've been working with. Now, how long is Stronger Court? How
many? 5 years.
5 years. Okay.
5 years.
So just tell the folks real quickly, what is the mission of us? And this is giving back, right?
Yeah. Oh,
this
yeah.
This is giving back.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I put it in the stress reduction category.
Yeah.
It is very exercise related.
Yeah,
too,
well,
right?
It's really there's three prongs to a stronger cord: exercise, movement. We know that's good for us. Building healthy relationships. We know that's good for us. And then serving others, doing good works in the community. We know that's good for us. So, being more fit, more connected, more giving is just it's a wonderful way to age well. And it was all born 5 years ago, just kind of based upon. You know, I'm just at a point in my life. I'm 60 years old, and I went into the Denver Rescue Mission 5 years ago and just said, what can I do to help? Because there's so many people on the streets. And so I started leading devotions for guys in the New Life program there. And I so happened I'd lead Thursday morning devotion for them. And prior to that, I've led a workout at the gym I belong to because I've been an athlete my whole life. I went to college on an athletic scholarship. I've been involved in sports my whole life.
Right.
And so I'd always be talking to these guys about the importance of fitness to their recovery. The stronger we are physically, the stronger we're going to be mentally. And that's true for anybody out there, not just guys trying to bounce back from addiction and incarceration. And one of the guys sitting on the front row said, when in the bleep are we going to start working out? And that was the birth of a stronger cord. And in 5 years, we've grown to a point that we've got three sites in town. Everybody out there, if you're listening, everybody's welcome. We welcome. We love to say we don't care if you're black, white, brown, young, old, in between, live in a mission, live in a mansion, live on Main Street. Let's come together, exercise. We do yoga, Pilates, Zumba. We just move.
Yeah.
And then let's hang out and get to know each other. And then let's go serve others. And so that's what a stronger cord's all about. And we're just.
So what was your mantra? Is work out, hang out.
And help out.
And help out.
Yeah. We work out,
hang out,
and help out.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a cord of three strands, not easily broken.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, I think we're at a point, and I brought in an article. It was in the Denver Post recently. George Will. Everybody knows George Will, the writer. He was talking about a book that a senator from Nebraska, Ben Sasse or Sass, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but he's talking about that we are in an epidemic of loneliness in America, that, we are more connected than ever, but we're as lonely as possible, and just things are, and I'd love if I could, I'd just read something from this.
Sure.
It says, in this book, it's called Them, Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. The subject is the evaporation of social capital, the satisfactions of work and community. This reflects a perverse phenomenon. What has come to count as connectedness is displacing the real thing. The connectedness now we all think is our cell phones and our computers and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And what matters the most is quickly becoming... loneliness is in epidemic proportions. And, it talks about repairing America's physical infrastructure, although expensive, is conceptually simple, involving steel and concrete. The crumbling of America's social infrastructure presents a daunting challenge. We do not know how to develop what Sass calls new habits of mind and heart, new practices of neighborliness. We do know that more government, which means more saturation of society with politics, is not a sufficient answer. And I think basically what we're talking about is what you talk about and what you've been dedicated to ever since your mom fell and had to go to a nursing home and all that.
Right.
Was that we have more ways than ever to connect with one another, but we're really not connecting with one another.
Yep.
I'm connecting with somebody in Malaysia.
Right.
Fourth or India, but we're not connecting to one another. And that's what a stronger cord does. We come together and we move our bodies.
Well, I'm just a dumb old boy from Arkansas, right? And I thought my grandmother was crazy. I really did. She may have been, actually.
Well,
but I remember. It's very vivid. I was born in the early 50s, and the advent of telephone and the widespread use of telephone service throughout the United States was kind of a new thing, especially in rural Arkansas.
Yeah.
My grandmother believed that the telephone marked the end of society as we knew it. She referred to the telephone as the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Grandma, why are you saying that? She goes, George, why do you think we have this room in the front of our house called a parlor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she says, that's where people come to communicate and interact.
Yeah.
You talk over the fence. You don't get on this mechanical device and try to communicate with somebody where you can't make eye contact.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was talking in a previous show about how when I was growing up, you and I are kind of the same age group. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit younger than you, right? In my mental capacity.
Yeah, his nose is growing. I'm glad that there's a camera in here.
That's another one of the changes that I've gone through. Yeah, but when I was growing up, it was always my mom yelling at us and the kids through the neighborhood to get in.
Yeah.
It's dinner time, go to bed. And now
I'm yelling, get
out. I'm yelling at my kids, get out of the house.
Yeah.
Get off the phone.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
off the technology. Move your body. Do something.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's spot on. Another fact from this article, and I highly recommend people, you know, Google how to heal our epidemic of loneliness. In the 50s, frequently 70% of television sets in use tuned into I Love Lucy. Today, when 93% of Americans have access to more than 500 channels, the most watched cable news program, Hannity, what do you think the percentage of the U.S. population that is watching that, considering all the different things they could be doing? Less than 1%.
Yeah.
In the last quarter of the 20th century, the average number of times Americans entertained at home declined almost 50%. Americans are hyper-connected but disconnected with fewer social, non-virtual friends than at any point in decades.
Yeah.
I mean, We feel like we're connected, but we're not.
We're not.
We're not
really not.
We're not getting together, and that's what a stronger cord's all about. Let's come together. We know exercise is good for us. We know getting to know each other is good for us, because once you get to know somebody.
Who it is, you know.
Well.
My ex-wife, I don't think.
Well, there you go. There you go.
There are those that I kind of wish I hadn't.
Well, I've got two of those ex-wives, which let's
talk,
we're not here to talk about that.
We're spiraling. Well, but we are talking about loneliness.
Yeah,
you can't be in a relationship.
Well, and one of the things that a stronger cord we take great pride in is that, you know, we have what we call, you know, service Saturdays or service Mondays, Tuesdays, whatever.
Right.
And one of the areas that we really focus on is going and visiting with people who live in retirement facilities, assisted living facilities.
Right.
You know, 60% of our nation's elderly who live in assisted living never have a visitor.
Wow.
Never.
Wow.
And it's crazy.
That's why programs like Bessie's Hope and some of these others are so powerful. Mm-hmm. Their concept is to connect kids with seniors and get that cross-generational dialogue going, which is really, we're losing that. We're losing that. My dad is back in rural Arkansas, and I don't get to see him, and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And our family is really working and struggling at how do we keep that familial contact with my dad. I mean, you know, these little pieces of plastic we carry around, we've got more technology in this little piece of plastic.
Yeah.
We have access to more information than the President of the United States had 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, you know, I think it's a double-edged sword. I do think it's, and I love Mr. Google. I love, you know, you just say Google the headline of this article, and everybody can already have it. So technology is a very positive, powerful resource, but we've got to figure out how to use it. And I think we're raising a generation of kids. Here's a funny I should get the name of it before I mention it, but a YouTube clip where this guy, it's a real interview, and this guy's interviewing a millennial for a child. I don't think so, but it's on the internet.
It's got to be true.
It's got to be true. I mean, this can't be false, but you know, there's just a disconnect, you know, and as a business owner, you know, I own three different companies, and it's amazing to me how hard it is to find somebody who understands what it means to do a day's work for a day's pay, to be loyal, to work, to, you know, quality of workmanship. And again, I'm not bashing everybody by any stretch. And we really pride ourselves in high quality and workmanship and taking care of our customers.
Yeah.
But it seems to be kind of a dying art right now, especially in a market.
Work's a dying art?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, knowing how to work is important, right?
Yeah. And here's, I'll find it here. This is according to McKinsey and Company. Analysts calculate that globally, 50% of paid activities, i.e. jobs, could be automated by currently demonstrated technologies. America's largest job category is driver. And with self-driving vehicles coming, two-thirds of such jobs could disappear in a decade.
Well, you know, my dad's applying to be an Uber driver.
Oh, my gosh. He's still got his driver's license?
Still got his driver's license. Oh, dude, listen to this, man. My sister and I are like, he's 90 years old. He's got to stop driving.
Do they require driving tests in Arkansas?
Well, obviously, no, because he's going in to renew his driver's license. We're both like, that's it. We don't have to worry. They'll take his license away, right? They walk in and they just grin. They take his picture and they say, the little lady goes, oh, my God, you'll be driving till you're 112.
What's the requirement to get a driver's license in Arkansas if you can fog a mirror?
Well, he had to do it three times. It took him a long time.
To fog a mirror?
To fog a mirror. Yeah. But, you know, he is 99. But you know, the point is movement and staying connected socially.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, after my mom passed, he flipped the switch in his head. And that's kind of what really started all this for me.
Yeah.
Because when my mom died, she was the one that was healthy.
Yeah.
Worked out five times a week, wasn't taking any meds, called her Nana Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah.
But that injury put her on this downward spiral. Yeah. Dad was at the other end of the spectrum, unhealthy, two-shot hips, taking steroids, prednisone for pain for years, whatever.
Yeah.
But after my mom passed in the nursing home, he flipped this switch and said, I'll never, ever go into a nursing home.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really it. Scared him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ugly, right?
Yeah.
And so he started changing his behavior, and he became more active, and he started doing medical hydrotherapy and other things and got off the walker. And then we reached that point where he was living independently, he was doing great, and one day he says, George, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. I don't. I'm here by my. I don't have anybody to interact with.
Yeah.
And so we put my dad in a community. We put. That is not what it was at all. Yeah. He selected a community now where he can have other people around him and have activities and keep himself connected and vital and that sort of thing. That's done wonders for him.
Yeah.
Done wonders for him.
You're talking about loneliness. Again, back to this article. There's a growing consensus that loneliness, not obesity, cancer, or heart disease, is the nation's number one health crisis. Persistent loneliness reduces average longevity more than twice as much as does heavy drinking, and more than three times as much as obesity, which is often a consequence of loneliness. You're lonely. You're not doing anything.
Sure.
You sit around, watch TV, and you're eating.
Sure.
Research demonstrates that loneliness is as physically dangerous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day and contributes to cognitive decline, including more rapid advance of Alzheimer's.
Wow.
We're literally dying of despair, of the failure to fill the hole millions of Americans feel in their lives.
Jeez. You know, my dad and I made a pact about 5 years ago, and there was two components to this agreement. I said, Dad, I want the two of us to agree that we'll do something every day for the rest of our lives. And he said, okay, well, what is it? And I said, well, first of all, I want us to both agree that before we get up in the morning and let our feet hit the floor to start our day, we will honestly and sincerely say to ourselves, this is going to be the best day of my life.
Yeah.
And there's another thing my dear friend Mark McIntosh says. Past is history, future is history. All we have is today, right?
Yeah. Yesterday is history. Yeah. Tomorrow's been a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where the Thrive Now concept comes from, my seminars and stuff.
Oh, so you're stealing my stuff. Stealing my stuff. Nobody can see Kyle.
I know where he got it.
There he is.
I know where he got it. Yeah. Actually, it comes from the Bible. No.
Yeah.
Everything comes from. But my point was, we made this agreement that we would focus on each day as if it were our last and to make it our best day. All right. Mm-hmm. That shifted my dad's attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second part of the agreement was that we would not let our feet leave the floor to go to bed at night to end our day without having made at least one other person laugh.
Thank you.
One other person laugh.
Yeah.
So my dad, you know, he's a popular guy now. He goes around trying to think how I can make things lighthearted. And he was suffering from loneliness.
Yeah.
And he's still. I mean, it's still a challenge when you reach that age that he spends a lot of time alone. He really does.
Yeah.
But he's in the environment that he wants to be in.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we can do so much more for others by reaching out. What would you suggest as something we could start doing today very easily to help eliminate loneliness, not just in our lives, but the lives of other people around us. Any thought?
Oh, sure. There's, you know, the real easy one is get plugged into a stronger cord. We have events every day that people could, that involve around coming together with others and exercising,
yep,
or coming together with others and serving others.
And by the way, let me just say, all right, you know that I've experienced a stronger cord,
yeah,
a number of times. And I want the listeners to understand that I think what you've built is really powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't just other people giving. I mean, there are people who interact, come in and gets like, oh, I'm going to help somebody else,
yeah,
that needs more help than I do.
Yeah.
But what really happens is
they get
everybody
more.
Gets benefit out of it, right?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times people have said, oh, you know, I got involved in a stronger cord because I wanted to help. Because we do a lot of work with agencies that are serving the isolated, vulnerable, and displaced.
Yeah.
Because they need that community, you know, and they need somebody to encourage them to be healthier. But, you know, you talk to people that maybe thought that, oh, I got my, you know, a school teacher, that all this kind of stuff, and they're getting involved to help somebody else. And I can't tell you how many times it's been. They go, man, nobody's getting more from this than I am.
Right.
But, you know, you were talking earlier about laughter, and you're spot on, and even a good, healthy cry or whatever, because I just was at a conference last Friday. We're starting to do a lot of work with vets that are trying to bounce back from PTSD and,
sure,
and stuff like that. And a neurologist was speaking, and, you know, and it's stuff we know, you hear it, but it's just good to be reminded. And, you know, just laughter, you know, a good cry, you know, we tend to keep all this stuff bottled up.
Right.
Especially if we're lonely and we're sitting around and then our mind starts playing tricks on us. And so just to encourage people to just get active, and for those who might be listening that, you know, easier said than done, because they might be in a assisted living facility, they might be in a retirement facility, hopefully there's a van there,
sure,
or there's something that can take them, or people can come in, and but it's about community. And if you're looking for a way to get involved in the community, you know, there's a myriad of ways to do that, yeah, but we could certainly help, you
right,
know, just go to astrongercord.org, click on events, and we've got 7-8 events every week that are free and open to anybody that wants to show up.
Well, and no matter what community that you're in, there are resources, there are,
yeah,
things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, you may if you don't have internet access and things like that, mm-hmm, well, then bring in your kids, your grandkids, your,
yeah,
friends, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd recommend, and I've started doing this, is I'm reaching out to people in my past,
mm-hmm,
old friends, people that I've had relationships with.
Well, that's why you called me?
No, actually, that's not why. I wanted to have a beer with you. I guess it is the same thing.
Exactly.
It is the same
that's
thing.
That's community.
It is. And it's like, you know, create
yeah,
some connectedness.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking in the last show about this Japanese concept of Kizan, which if you want to change your behavior, we tend to get overwhelmed. Oh, I can't create new friendships. I can't do this stuff. And the concept is very simple. Just do that activity only for 2 minutes at the same time every day, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it might just be pick up the phone and call a friend, a relative, whatever. Tell people you love them.
Amen.
Think of the people you love and call them. Tell them you love them. I call my dad every day.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, is this a love call?
Yeah, it is.
It's a love call, Dad. I love you.
Yeah.
But think about it. Think what that does to his attitude, his energy. It's a powerful, powerful thing.
And you know, kind of on the reverse, my mother's 83. She's
single?
She is single.
Would she be interested in an older man?
You know, huh?
She'd be interested in an older man?
Well, you know what? You might, you know, what the heck? You know, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. But one of the things that I encourage her to do, because she is isolated, she lives in a retirement place, and one of the things that I think social media and everything could really help is for those who maybe you don't have a lot of people coming in, you could be reaching out. Like a lot of the people that are involved in a stronger cord that she's gotten to know, because I take a bunch of guys to a Bible study on Friday morning and we call her on the way down, so she gets to know four or five guys.
The guys, yeah.
And I encourage her, you know, become friends with them on Facebook and stuff. You can continue to have, you can build these relationships.
Right.
So that's a way that I think the internet and social media can really help those who are isolated, but it has to be part of a larger pie that involves actual, like what we're doing, sitting
right.
down across from one another and getting engaged. And there's nothing better than doing good works for somebody else to lift your spirits.
Yep.
Just get involved.
Absolutely. Anything, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of need out there. So just.
Well, there is. And we're building the Being Young at Any Age website. We're kind of ahead of the curve here.
Gotcha.
We've got the content going and the show and all that before we've really got all the structure in place. But we're going to have a page that's the Inner Circle.
Cool.
And I'll have your content and info there. But the idea is, we refer people. There are just so many resources out there. Any information that's in my book that's coming out, Being Young at Any Age, we're going to have the information in there to help you connect with those folks. Yeah. If you feel isolated, think about it. Talk to your grandkids, anybody who might be able to help you. If you can get on the internet, then, there's meetups. My gosh, there's meetups for everything. If you knit, crochet, reading clubs, that's where technology can really be a positive thing to help us stay connected. I believe if we're using it to connect us with other people, right?
Yep.
Not this remote virtual thing.
Yeah.
I asked my youngest daughter was talking to me a few weeks ago and tell me about, her new friends and da-da-da-da, and she's going on and on and on. I bet it's really nice people and talking about them. I was great, cool, let's go, let's go take them to dinner or something. And she's like, well, Kyle is in California, Nancy's in Minnesota, and I'm like, wait a minute, And it's like, that's her pool of friends, and she's thinking of these people as her best friends, and they're halfway across the country. I'm glad she's got friendships, but we need human contact. Human contact.
It's absolutely critical. My daughter, now 21, but I remember when she was playing club volleyball and, before they could drive, and you go pick them up and drop them off, and there's four or five girls in the car. They'd all jump in the car after practice, and then suddenly just go silent. And you look in the rearview mirror, and everybody is texting. And sometimes they're texting other girls in the car or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going, my God, how'd practice go? Nobody wants to talk about that because, people are right next to you. Or you go out to dinner, you see a family of six, and everybody's on their phones.
Everybody's on the phone looking down. I mean, to me, that's just craziness. Take advantage of that. But step up. Do something different. Do it for 2 minutes. Talk to your kids for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Call your grandkids.
Yeah.
Do something.
Amen.
Just do something. And by the way, don't give me the technology excuse. I gave my dad a pass on that. I got him a smartphone, and I let him off the hook simply because his skin was so thin, he couldn't operate the screen. But my girlfriend's 90-year-old mom is now on Facebook, and I'm telling you,
Have you hooked up your girlfriend's mom with your father? Keep it all in the family,
man. That'd
be the Arkansas way to do it.
We got a language issue.
Hey, it's the language of
that. Yeah, well, that's right. They'll figure it out, right? They'll figure it out. Just put them in a room together and see which one comes out. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, Mark McIntosh, my dear, dear friend.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in and yakking with me a little bit. You can tell this was obviously scripted.
Yeah.
And I love you all. I love you for joining us. Remember, this is Being Young at Any Age. We all have the ability to live to be 90, 95, 100 years old. And I believe if you die at an age younger than 120, you died a premature death. Why? Mm. Gene Clement has proven to us we can all genetically and physically live to be at least 122.
And right on.
But I'm telling you, it's up to us. We are the captains of our ship. We've got to do it. We've got to get out there and be proactive. So do one thing today. Do one thing today. Call a friend. Call a loved one. Reach out. Do something to connect. Maybe you can help somebody else who's feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. But being young at any age, I'm challenging you. Step out. Thanks for joining us. I can't wait to see you next time. Again, this is George Bentley. You can reach us at 303-388-8887. Or you can email me at george@bentleybaz. And our technology website, YouTube channel, and all that will be up within a week or so. Stay tuned. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.